Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled Fake News, and it is based off of Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Let us dive into the Word today. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "Yes, look at these great buildings. But they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pangs, with more to come." Amen. It was the year 70 CE. 70 AD or CE. And the Romans came marching into Jerusalem, having besieged it for many, many months. In fact, they had besieged it from February of 70 CE through September of 70 CE. So if you do the math, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you got March, April, May, June, July, August, September. 7 months. 7 months of being besieged. And truth be told, it could have been a longer a siege than it was. But why did the Romans come in? Why? Because in 66 CE, after the Romans tried to take money out of the temple treasury, a rebellion was sparked. You see, one of the things that the Jews did not put up with, I mean, they put up with a lot of things because they didn't really have much of a choice, but one of the things they would not put up with and one of the things they would absolutely die for was the sanctity of the holy temple, the seat of God in the world, the holy temple. You did anything to defile that temple, and it was going to cause a rebellion for sure. And so a rebellion was sparked by zealots, a successful rebellion. And the zealots were actually able to kick the Romans out of Jerusalem and the surrounding land. No joke, the rebellion was so quick and so violent that the Romans actually retreated out of the area, which is an amazing feat when you think about it. But that success was short-lived. That success was short-lived. And here's why, we're going to look at this, but here's why the siege could have been longer but wasn't. So there were major divisions among the people as to whether or not they should have revolted. Some thought that revolting was senseless, whether the Romans were occupying or the zealots were occupying or somebody else was occupying. The problem for some of these Jews was that their hearts weren't right with God, or that's what they felt. And that unless their hearts were right with God, unless they had God on their hearts, so to speak, they were going to be doomed no matter what earthly power was ruling there. And so they thought the violence to kick the Romans out and take power for themselves was misplaced at best. And there were also people there who feared that if you rebel against the Romans, you're just going to bring the weight of the Roman Empire on you even harder when they decide to come back and take it over. And so there were these factions that disagreed with the zealots. And so it became zealots versus non-zealots. And they disagreed with each other so vehemently that they ended up fighting a civil war against each other. No joke. They were burning down each other's homes, burning down each other's property. They were even burning each other's food. Meanwhile, the Romans were regrouping and preparing to take back the city. Now, I want you to understand, this civil war was so bloody that Josephus, the historian who lived during that time, said that the blood was running rampantly in the streets. They were killing each other while the Romans were regrouping and preparing to take back the city. So in February of 70 CE, after maiming and killing people throughout Judea, Vespasian and the Roman Empire marched its way through Judea toward Jerusalem, causing many of the people that survived those attacks all the way through, causing many of them to flee to Jerusalem for protection, and they walled themselves up in the city for protection. So when the Romans finally reached the city, there were over 100,000 people inside. And when the Romans reached the city, they besieged it, meaning that they surrounded it, and all major entry points and entrance points and exit points, all major ways in and out of the city were blocked by the Romans. No food or water or supplies could come in or out. And as I said, over 100,000 people were trapped inside. But it gets worse from there. You see, the Jews were still fighting amongst themselves. And even, again, burning the food supplies of the opposing factions until there was no food left at all. So no food can come in and out of the city, and they're burning their own food. You can imagine what that's going to lead to. Now, the zealots were telling people that they could defeat the Romans. They were telling people that if you just follow us and do as we say, we could unite and be united and defeat the Romans. And sure, they probably would have been more successful against the Romans had they not been so divided, but whether they could defeat the Romans or not, that was very unlikely. But as a result, the zealots wouldn't allow anybody to leave the city. In fact, they put an edict out that if anybody, any Jew, tried to leave the city, they were to be executed on sight, because they believed that they had to fight this together, and they were going to force people to fight with them whether they wanted to or not. The zealots were telling people that they could defeat the Romans. But friends, that message was ultimately fake news. Eventually, the Romans broke into the city, killed many of the inhabitants, and burned the city and its temple to the ground. Blood flowed like rivers through the streets. Piles and piles of people, dead corpses laying over one another, blood running through the streets. It was a horror show within Jerusalem. Do you see these great buildings? Jesus asked his disciples. Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. These words, which we read today, were written a mere 45 to 50 years before the events I just described. The disciples were enamored by the facade, as it were. They were blown away by the buildings, the temple, the pomp, and the circumstances. Even after Jesus pointed out that the pomp and the circumstance was meaningless, that God cherished the gifts of the poor widows over the rich thespians or actors, if you remember that from a couple weeks ago. The disciples were still being drawn away by the facade rather than being moved by Jesus. Friends, the disciples were following after fake news. They were placing their hope in the glory of Jerusalem rather than in the glory of God. They were seeking after a worldly kingdom and missing the boat in regard to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus warned them, and Jesus warns us, don't be caught up by the fake news, by the facade, by the things of this world. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be presidents and kings and rulers and religious leaders who tell you that they are the answer, that they are the ones who can save you. But there is only one who can save you. Amen? There is only one Savior of the world, and His name is Jesus the Christ. Beware that no one and nothing will lead you astray, Jesus warns. I and I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. Sisters and brothers, if what you're following, if what you're placing your hope and faith in does not look, walk, sound, or talk like Jesus, then guess what? It ain't Jesus. Plain and simple. Let us avoid being caught up in the fake news of fake saviors and be faithful to Christ and to Christ alone. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, merciful God, there are so many times that you have shown us the light. There are so many times that you've shown us the way, the truth, and the life, and yet we still miss that boat and follow other things, hoping that those things will bring us joy and peace and happiness and prosperity and salvation. And every time we do that, we doom ourselves. Lord, wake us up. Show us your holy way once again. Put us back on the path so that we may be a people who follow you rather than ourselves and the things that we want. Let us be a people that receive what we need through you rather than seeking what we want in the world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning into this message. Again, it was entitled Fake News, based off of Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Next week, we will begin a message series called The Inn. It's definitely a series that's based centered on Advent, and so I hope that you will join us for that. We're gonna really kind of explore all the ways in which we close ourselves off, just like the people at the inn did to the Holy Family, to Jesus, Mary, Joseph. So let us be a people who move beyond the fake news and seek the only truth that matters, which is Jesus Christ. So I'd invite you back again to check out that message series. Also want to give a major shout out to Drew and to Evan, who invited me this week to be on their podcast. And so that podcast is called God and Whiskey. They're whiskey connoisseurs, and they invited me on to talk about Advent and the meaning of Advent, and it was a really great time with them, and I just want to give them a major shout out. Also, would like to invite you to check out our podcast online, which is can be found at lifegivingwatermsg.org, lifegivingwatermsg.org. You can also check Sal and my podcast, the Party On John cast, at partyonjohn.org. Both of those are on iTunes. They're on Google Play Music. They're on Spotify. Check us out. Again, thank you for joining us. And my friends, remember that you are blessed. So be a blessing to others. Go in peace.